Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch with Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Central Asia, Uzbekistan. A large and extremely resource-rich state, part of the stands, but most significantly, it is the largest population, now estimated at 36 million and growing quickly. At the same time, here in the world of conflict in Eurasia, Uzbekistan is now a primary concern for Europeans, for Americans, for Russians, for Chinese investor class, because of its natural resources, natural gas and oil. And what is to be done going forward, putting this network together? Look at your map and you see Uzbekistan stretching from the Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan side of the stands all the way towards Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan. And right there is agricultural wonder, but now energy. Ekaterina Zolotova, she is geopolitical futures analyst. She's in Moscow writing about Uzbekistan and a conversation underway, a proposal, a possibility of a natural gas union for Russia, for China, with Uzbekistan. And I learned right away that Uzbekistan is reluctant. Ekaterina, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. It is the most populous state, and yet it is reluctant to join in a gas union exclusively with China and Russia. Is this a fresh development, or has this been true for some time since President Mirziyoyev took control? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and it's great to be here again. Well, I would like to correct you a little bit, if you let me. It's not China, it's Kazakhstan. And this idea was quite new. It happened at the very late of November when Takayev, the president of Kazakhstan, arrived to Russia and had a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. There, the two presidents of Kazakhstan and Russia proposed the idea of trilateral union, gas union, between Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Russia. Since in our job we are observing the local media as well, we noticed that for the very first time, Uzbekistan was quite surprised with this idea. In the first, the media reacted very strange. They noted that it wasn't clear what the union is about. And after that, the representatives of the government noted that they don't want to see the union. They don't want to see political union. They would like to have maybe economic union, some economic ties, and this is it. So this is quite a new idea. And in fact, it happened in a very interesting time. First of all, it's the time when Russia is still in a military operation in Ukraine, and it is under heavy sanctions. And right now it has a lot of gas that it needs to export somewhere else, for example, to China and to Central Asia and the other countries that need the Russian gas. And at the same time, it's the period when Uzbekistan, though it is rich in resources, in gas and in oil as well, has very big problems with energy and electricity, particularly because of the cold weather. This is really interesting moment that Uzbekistan, which is rich in resources, becomes almost like importer of the resources. And right now it has to keep its resources and even decreased the export to another countries and so on. So to explain shortly, the problem is the following. Uzbekistan, as you noted, has the largest population in Central Asia, and it is rapidly developing. But this is only one thing. The second thing is that Uzbekistan is also a very rapidly developing economy. Since the beginning of its independence after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Uzbekistan was looking for its way, and it is attracting a lot of investments because it is a new and very big market. And of course, there is a lot of production. Right now, this direction is very prominent one because a lot of European companies, and not only European, I saw some Korean as well, are interested in this direction because there is a possibility to open some factories, some production in the market that is very close to Russia. And so it will be somehow the way to go away from the sanctions from Russia. And at the same time, there is a cheap labor, a lot of labor, and there are some resources. So the growing economy needs energy. The growing economy needs gas. And simply because there are not so many ways for Uzbekistan to produce the electricity, there are some water problems. I think that these water issues in Central Asia could be the separate topic for the conversation one day. There are also some difficulties with construction of nuclear power plants because it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and so on. The production of electricity using the natural gas is one of the maybe fastest and easiest way to produce electricity. So during the last years, Uzbekistan, which usually used to export a lot of gas to other countries, became simply dependent on gas. Now it is producing and it is consuming a lot. And if we check the numbers, we will see that the export is very, very few. Even during the last year, if we compare the numbers with the last year, we will see that the export of gas has decreased almost three times. This is something incredible. And we don't need to forget one important thing. Uzbekistan has to export. It is the post-Soviet economy, and most of the post-Soviet economies have almost the same model. They have resources, and of course, they need to have some money for the development. And usually they use these resources to export and get extra money. So exporting gas, it's an important source for the budget. There were some numbers saying that it brings almost 20% of GDP and brings quite a lot of money to the state budget. Imagine the economy, which needs a lot of money after the post-COVID world and during the time when the normal logistics is broken, and it has very few money to invest in itself because it doesn't export a lot. So Uzbekistan, it's in quite difficult situation with declining export, with the rising demand of electricity, and of course with a lot of attention from Russia and the West, besides the countries like the European Union, the United States, and China as well. Because we don't need to forget that Uzbekistan is situated in a very important place. It is called in geopolitics as the buffer zone, the Central Asia zone, and this is the zone of Russian interests, because some decades ago, it was the part of the Soviet Union, and the ties with the post-Soviet world are still very strong. So potentially Russia sees this area as the area of its own interest. And here the most interesting thing begins, for sure.
Yes, the frame I have of Uzbekistan is traveling there in 2018. A young population, a growing population, sophisticated and educated. I was dealing with the government and government representatives, of course. The young people are multilingual, English, Russian, Uzbek, Chinese. And the possibilities in 2018, before the pandemic and before the war, were endless. And I see from your essays, they're still quite promising. But as you say, they're consuming natural gas for their own needs. The natural gas drives their thermal heating, which is thermal plants, which is 90% of their electricity. However, there are sources of revenue, mixed sources of revenue. And as you say, there are people eager to invest. The one that was most attractive to me right away was the transit fees for natural gas from Turkmenistan to Russia. Have they all? Is that already started? Is Uzbekistan developing transit fees? And if true, if so, who is building or upgrading the pipelines for that?
There is a pipeline and it exists for a long time. I think it was constructed, if I'm not mistaken, in 80s or 70s.
I see.
This is the pipeline that goes from Turkmenistan. It passes Uzbekistan, then goes to Kazakhstan and it goes to Russia. Then this gas from Turkmenistan goes to some Russian pipelines and it could be delivered to Europe by other Russian pipelines. So it's like a transit area. This pipeline is quite big in size. It's about like 30 billion cubic meters of gas. Its capacity. And Uzbekistan also has quite a big capacity for this. So in fact, it's possible, there is an infrastructure and it's possible to get Turkmen gas to Russia and then to Europe through Russia, Uzbek gas, because it's all connected to Russia and then to Europe and Kazakhstan. And of course, it's possible to deliver it to direction of China as well. So there is infrastructure and the major participant of this is Russian Gazprom. So the Russian part, it's very important. This is why it's very it's important for the countries of Central Asia to keep good relations with Russia, simply because Russia has the major part of these pipelines.
Has Russia offered to enhance and grow the pipelines? Because you note that the pipelines need updating. So does the infrastructure. Is Russia interested in investing in that? Is China interested in investing in upgrading the pipelines that flow to China?
I would say Russia is very interested in this. When the presidents were discussing gas union, they mentioned that one of the possibilities to upgrade the pipelines because they are quite old and they need some modernization. And mostly it will be Russia. China, of course, is very interested in buying gas from Uzbekistan, like it's doing from Russia. But to tell the truth, this project is usually very costly. And China very seldom is attracted to such projects for investing the money. I mean, like here, it will be only Russia. Russia has technologies. Russia has some knowledge about this. And of course, Russia has the opportunity to do this. But all depends, of course, on other sites and the investments.
Yes, let us turn to what holds Uzbekistan back from what appears to be a very attractive opportunity to have development at the same time a market and money flowing into an economy that is ready to grow. The population is bursting. Ekaterina Zolotova, for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. She is in Moscow. When we come back, why does President Mirziyayev and the government hold back from Russia? What is to be gained by being independent or neutral? I'm John Bash.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.